I pressed one.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I do want to welcome you to another edition of The Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday. I want to welcome you to another edition of The Miracle Man Show on Wednesday, March 22nd of 2023. Don't know what that Tuesday was about. It's not Tuesday. It's actually Wednesday. So I do want to welcome you to the episode. We will have Vaughn coming in soon to ask him about the March Madness questions. He has been at where he works over at the Ford dealer here in town. If you're looking for a place to buy a Ford, you can, he's a good, Millen Ford is a good place to check out if you happen to be a driver and maybe, and you're looking for a new ride, you can try there. Even though Donut drives a General Motors made product, which it was supposed to be that GM and Ford were just about supposed to be at war with each other. So how on earth he's even driving a GM car when he works at a Ford place? I don't know.
To be fair, he bought it from the Ford place.
Ooh, what about yours? Yep. What about the one you're driving?
They both came from Ford.
I have a question. What are they at the Ford dealer?
Used cars. You can sell your car there and buy a new one.
Oh, that's like, here's my thing. It's like going to McDonald's to get a Whopper.
This is true.
It's like, folks, if I go to Burger King and go up to the drive-thru, or Burger King, I think you're, yes, I'll have a Big Mac, please. And I'll have a 10-piece McNugget. I don't want your stuff. I want a 10-piece McNugget. And I'll have a McFlurry, please. And I'll have, let me think here, an Egg McMuffin. They'll say, you know what they're going to say? Sorry, we don't have those things.
They will.
But they'll... They might say, we do have a Whopper, we do have an 8-piece nugget, but the McFlurry Blizzard type thing can't help you with. That's what they would say. They would say, can't help you with that other thing.
Probably.
They'd probably be like, but we do have these different sundaes,
mm-hmm.
is what they would end up saying. And point being made that generally, I think it's kind of funny actually that you can go to a Ford dealer and find a used GM car. But then again, restaurants are not in the business of selling used stuff, unlike car dealers. So if you're looking for a brand new, if you go into Vaughn's place. Vaughn's work, Millen Ford, you go to the new car center and you say, hey Vaughn, can I please have a brand new Chevy Escalade? He's going to say, no, don't have Cadillac Escalade. He's going to say, no. He's going to say, maybe I have these used ones. And if they're like, no, I don't need a new one. They'll say, oh, there's a Cadillac dealer here in town, but this idea of brand spanking new Escalade, I don't have one for you. He's gonna say, I don't have one for you. He'll say, I don't have one for you to do. I don't have one for you to do. For you to have one is what he'll tell him. So it's one of those funny things, dealing with rivals. You work at one, Well, my dad works at General Motors, and my mom drives a Ford, but he doesn't drive a Ford. You know, some people will say that Fords are fixed or repaired daily. I don't know about that. First on race day. We'll leave it at that. First on race day. That doesn't always guarantee that they're going to win the race. I would say, actually, first on race day is actually a Camaro, a Chevy Camaro.
Yeah.
What do you think? A Chevy Camaro or maybe some kind of a new Cadillac or something is actually first on race day. Not a Ford. It's not a Ford that's first on race day, right? What do you think it is, a Ford?
Probably.
What? It's not a Toyota.
No, probably not.
I don't think it's anything, any car not made in America. Foreign cars are never first on race day, ever, in your mind at least, right? They're not supposed to be.
Yeah.
They're not supposed to be first. Those can actually be last on race day if they want to be. Last on race day. Because, by the way, race day is referring to Sundays, which is, you know, NASCAR race day. And even IndyCar race day, if you're into the whole IndyCar thing. The only IndyCar thing I even ever pay attention to at all is if it's the Indy 500, which I'm not a big Indianapolis guy, to be honest with you. Nothing against the races or anything. It's just me not a big Indiana person. I prefer that other place to the south. And you know what? I meant by the other one, didn't you?
Ohio.
There. That one. Mm-hmm. That's why I said that other. That other one, it'd be like if I were to say the other pocket or the other dice, or, which by the way, folks, if you wonder what a poppet is, you can ask me. It's a game, you know, that I play. It's a game I like playing, just like how I like to play dice and roll numbers. And when I play dice and I go, what? That means that I am rolling, that low numbers have been rolled that I did not want to receive. And, of course, you know, when you're rolling the dice, of course you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know what you're going to get. By the way, isn't checkmate on chess actually really bad if you get a checkmate, Donna?
I actually don't know how to play chess.
I remember one time you had asked me if I was a chess player. You asked me that once.
Yep.
That made me think you did play.
No, I didn't. I would like to learn, though.
Because that's kind of, maybe that's why you had randomly asked that years ago, because I thought that was funny, and I'm like, no.
Right.
I was like, no, because you were like, and you're like thinking, oh, he might know how to play chess.
Yeah.
But nope. That made me think for sure you did, and that's why I asked you right there.
Mm-mm.
Right. That's what I was asking. Oh, you know how to play chess, right? And obviously, listeners, as you can tell, I have not played chess even once, so it's not like I know whether checkmate means good or bad. But obviously, it can mean either or. Oh, sorry about that. That was just a silly notification on my phone. It was not, I didn't get much sleep, though. And actually, on my phone's old enough that I actually have a home button, so it requires me to hit the home button in order to get Siri to speak. So that's part of what makes it so funny, that pastor just spoke like it did. And says, I don't need much sleep, but thanks for asking. And then Dr. Barclay even said, I don't need much sleep either. If you were Dr. Buckley and your phone did that, how would you react? Or do you not know? Well, you're not sure.
I don't know.
You'd be like, wait, what? Would you kind of be thinking, ushers, can we get that thing out of here?
Yeah.
You'd be like, ushers, can we take a look around and see maybe what that is? Because that would make it funnier when like if they're looking around being like, wait, it's yours, Pastor. That'd be silly, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be, because I could just jump in like looking around for a minute and being like, Pastor, it's your phone. Especially like if it's you up there, like they're figuring it out, trying to figure out what it was, and then like you're still preaching, and then they go, Pastor, it's your phone.
Yeah.
That'd be silly, wouldn't it? And then be like, ooh, I can just hear the sighing and laughing, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
They'd be like, really? It was yours? Especially being how close it was to the pulpit. At least it was, I mean, it was close enough to his microphone, it must have been, that the whole church was able to hear it. And was able to tell that he said, I don't need much sleep. But then, and so that's part of what made it so hilariously funny to me that it did that. And like, I just thought it was a little, if you're going to have a malfunction, that's a funny malfunction to have. A phone malfunction.
Yeah.
That's what you would call it, right? A phone malfunction.
Because
mm-hmm. it just goes off while right in the middle of Dr. Barclay preaching. Although, in the defense, the phone goes off, you know, about two and a half minutes after he said, in about 2 minutes, folks, the alarm's going to go off, and then I'll basically quit right after that. And so, and then he says, now, folks, this is proof that Siri is demon-possessed, which he's not. Siri's not demon-possessed at all, but he teased about it. There's a video on YouTube, actually, where Siri prayed in tongues. What had happened was someone was praying in tongues, and then Siri tried to copy it. And then this other guy in the background is like, yes, Jesus. Think of it what you want to. Obviously, you know, Siri wouldn't do that in real life. I thought that was funny. Or maybe they programmed it so Siri would speak a foreign language. Is that what you bet it was?
Yeah.
You bet that's what it was? Just to create a video to make it look like Siri was praying in tongues?
Possibly.
Which of course means that Siri obviously is not praying in tongues. We know she's not, because she interrupted a church service. Generally, if you're saved, you know, generally, unless you got something going on, you don't just willfully go around and, like, just talk out like that, like what that Siri did. Because it wasn't anything related to what he said at all. If it was, that would have been funny, though. And then, did I tell you about the OnStar thing?
I don't think so.
There was Sunday night, me and my mom were in the car. Dad went into the Indian restaurant to grab something. And then the OnStar voice comes on and says, oh, I'm here. It says, I'm here, you know, do you have an emergency? And we're like, no. And we were just talking about, like, you know, whatever we were talking about. And then OnStar comes on. I didn't even say the word OnStar or anything like that. And it comes on. At least it wasn't a person saying, OnStar Center, this is such and such.
Right.
Because by that point, it'd be like, what? This is not an emergency. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to be like, we're not having an emergency here. What are you doing? That's what I'd be thinking. I'd be like, and then you'd wonder a few minutes later, why are the police here? Because that's what could happen.
Yeah.
But first, obviously, the OnStar people would have to be told first. And because I remember these OnStar commercials from all the way back in like 2002. And it was a big thing when it came out.
Yeah.
So, OnStar Center, this is such and such, remember those commercials? Kind of, sort of?
Kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, they were a huge thing. Always there, always ready. Are you sure you're always there, always ready? You know who it is, always there and always ready, listeners? Jesus is always there for us. He's always ready. He's always going to he'll and he's always listening. He is there for us when we call his name. And when we call on his name, he will answer. He has a better rating than OnStar, guaranteed. And guess what? You don't have to pay to subscribe, unlike OnStar, which you're supposed to. And I hope people don't ever try to pray to their OnStar or anything like that. Push the button just because they want to hear a certain voice. I'd be like, really? Come on. Really? That'd be like chatting with Great Lakes Crossing on their Google feed just to ask if they have donuts. I did that like the day before Christmas Eve back in 2021.
Really?
They said, well, we do have Cinnabon. That's all I said. If I were to ask them, you know, what percent full is the food court, they wouldn't know what I was talking about.
No, probably not.
Unless I was somehow you know, claimed to be like ChatGPT or whatever and knew all things.
Yeah.
But maybe then. But in a way, that'd be scary if it actually knew, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And being we're asking how full it is, you're assuming it's during a weekend or a break, of course. Because close to Christmas, because otherwise, because of the sheer size of it, it won't be that high.
Because
even the pizza guys at Midland, I'm much more apt to ask them if it's during a school break, like summer or something, and then I'll be like 40 or 80. Wait, I wish. After I said 80, you got a feeling I was going to say, wait, I wish.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning like, I wish that sometimes it still was.
Yeah.
But for now, just have to keep wishing, because we don't have, you know, the great burger place. When Midland Burger Company came in there for a little while there, it was popping. The burger place was. It was like there would be a good 30, 40 people there. Or anything from Vaughn and where?
About 7:10-ish.
Okay, folks. So for right now, just kind of, So another quick thing I want to mention we're working on is, so spring break is for the kids around where I live. Spring break starts, tomorrow they actually have a half day of school, then they go on spring break for about 10 days. For those of you who might wonder, you know, did you ever go anywhere on spring break, by anywhere? If you're wondering, like, did I ever, like, totally, fully go out of state during actual spring break? Well, during grade school, let me think here. 1 year I did. Actually, twice in the same break, believe it or not. So when I was in like a sophomore, I went to actually left school a day early to go to a big event, a place in Alabama called The Ramp, down in a rural part of Alabama, semi-close to Mississippi, as well as near Tennessee. So I was there for a couple of days, and then came home for a couple of days. But then after that, we went to Chicago for like a day, a certain thing my dad was doing over there. So actually went two different out-of-state places during spring break. Also, I went, you know, to different, you know, family friend houses and stuff, and went to a water park in Frankenmuth called Zender's Splash Village. it's bigger now than what it was then. As a college student, I did go to Alabama again in 2017. This time it was to visit a family friend of ours. And it was a nice spring break getaway. Oh, and then I remembered 2013, Chicago for a few days of spring break. And so for a time, Alexis, you might remember this too. For a time, it was actually a thing to have 70-degree days during spring break. Remember when we used to have 70-degree days during spring break when we were little?
I do.
Whatever happened to that? It is a crying shame. No, no. Global cooling has destroyed our warm spring breaks that we used to have.
And global warming has ruined the oceans.
What? No. I want our 70-degree day spring break. I want our 70-degree day spring break days back at least once per spring break for those who don't go anywhere during spring break.
All right, let's make a deal. You can mess with the thermostat one day during spring break.
No, I'm going to mess with the outside. No, outside spring break. Outside.
I think it's been at the expense of the heat, the outdoors.
See, that's not what's going to be heated. That's what's going to be heated is the outdoors, not the indoors. Forget the indoor. You know, I'm talking about the outdoors so that we can have back what we had, you know, between like 98 and about 2010, we did have a day, a spring break day where it, two spring break days actually in a row where it was well over 70 degrees.
Yes, it was beautiful.
And even 2009, we didn't have one, but trying to think. 2008, we didn't either, but we did like one, two, three in 2007, a couple in 2006. Five for 2004, but 2000, 99, 98. So like four different times. So there, it seemed to be a trend. But so ever since 2010, we've had basically none, just about none. No 70-degree days during spring break.
I think it's because winter starts so much later now.
Fix it, Mother Nature. Fix it. Fix it. You created this mess. You can fix it. I know, right? Because I'm really going to... Wait. Let me think here. 2021. Oh, yeah. We did in 2021 have one once, but a lot of that spring break was still overshadowed by COVID.
Mm-hmm.
We have to think. So I'm thinking of a true proper spring break, a more normal, you know, like and there being a 70-degree day at some point during said break. And we basically have not had any days like that. At all. And I mean, at all. We just, not since 2010. It's been basically zero. And
so if you're praying and believe in people, then you better believe that it'll be 70 degrees and pray for 70 degrees.
You can believe, you know. Maybe it will. Maybe they'll, some weather person already, we made an error. One of these that said 50, we actually met 70. Yay! I win! Even if for a day.
Yeah.
Even if just for a day. And hopefully it doesn't include it being, super cloudy and rainy and like 1.5 inches of rain and all that kind of stuff. Other stuff, down south we'll get the nice warm weather for when they go on break, which of course depends on the state can determine, when they go. Like in Georgia, it's generally that first week of April, which is just after most of Michigan has theirs, because most of Michigan will be next week, but there's some districts that'll be the week after. I want to let you know, so obviously we'll have Vaughn coming in a few minutes, but I do want to let you know that starting like late next week, we're going to start delving into some teachings on Easter, because Easter is the ninth. Actually, wait, not Easter, Resurrection Day. Resurrection Day, because that's the day that Jesus died. No, Good Friday, he died. Resurrection Day is the day that he was resurrected. He was risen from the day, and we'll be talking about those different events, and it'll be great. And of course, first we'll talk about Palm Sunday, and then we'll go from there and delve into the different things about about Jesus as it relates to Easter Sunday, also Good Friday, which actually technically used to be called God Friday. If you think about it, it actually used to be called God Friday, but some people decided, they need to add another O, and that just makes it Good Friday instead. Which, honestly, I don't know how I feel about that, because you just call it Good Friday. That's like just calling the Bible the good book. But then again, there were different people who came up to Jesus and said, good teacher. And he said, and then even he says, why do you call me good? He asks literally, why do you call me good? Why do you call me good? And he said, no one is good but God alone, which is the truth. When he said that, because people were asking him that. They were saying, good teacher, what must I do to inherit? That's what they were asking. And then he answers him. And so I wanted to let you know about that. And then also, I wanted to tell you how you can, about the book Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life and how great Jesus has been. He's always been there for me throughout my life. He's always been there for us, for my family. And it's been great to watch what he's done. And all through those different surgeries I had, and the spirit of death tried to take me out four different times. But all four times, God won. And I did not die. 0-4. That spirit of death, it went 0-4.
You win.
Because I win. Sure, I win. But God won. God won, ultimately.
But
thank God.
You're on God's team.
I'm on his team, and so I win, and double, went 0-4. Which obviously, if you're, shooting baskets, if you're shooting free throws, you don't want to go 0-2 at free throw shooting. You don't want to go 0-4 from the field. But when you're going for the three pointers, you don't want to go 0-4 then. When it goes for that, you don't want to go. You want to at least go, 2-4, 3-6, 4-8. 3-8 even is good, because obviously, if you can go 40%, that's not too bad. You're not gonna shoot 100%. Generally, you won't. unless you only have, like, for whatever reason, one shot for the whole night and you make it, which sometimes that does happen. I use the basketball metaphor because that's what I'm going to be talking to him, and I'll be asking him what he's really excited about, because March Madness is going on in college basketball, and there's already been some pretty big madness. There's been some pretty shocking upsets. There really has been. By the way, if you're wondering what an upset is, that's when a team who is expected to win loses. Upsets can especially be mentioned when we talk about a team who should keep advancing throughout a tournament, but instead maybe they lose first or second round when they should not. And those can often be called upsets, because the team who is heavily favored to win, sometimes heavily favored to win, was upset, shocked by an underdog. That's why it's called an upset. Not meant to be upset like I'm unhappy, but it's like you even say it differently. That's why I even say it differently, you know, upset instead of upset, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm, or what would be funny if someone were to say, I'm upset about the upset.
That would be pretty funny.
Yeah, which should be, especially if your team played maybe one of the best games they played all year. You know, I can think of a couple different times when I've been live in attendance at Midland Community Stadium, and we were expected to go rather far into the playoffs, and instead we were beaten at home first round of the playoffs. We were upset. We were the number one team in our district, you know, because of the way they do the districts. You know, we were number one out of four teams. We were number one. We lost to the four seed, 21-13, after, mind you, being down 21-0, which, you know, people could have said, waited until, you know, 6 minutes in to go in the fourth quarter to get going. And, well, about that, I would say, well, that other team was tough. And they made it hard for Midland to get going. And this was in football. Or sometimes this can happen, you know, to different, you know, teams in major leagues too, and even college, you know. Look at last weekend. You had a number one seed lose to a 16 seed for the second time ever. You had number one.
Number one?
You had a number one team lose to a number 16 seed.
Oh, that's harsh.
And then you had number two seed out of 64 teams that they're put into 16 different, you know, they're seeded number one to 16 based on in a region. So there's there's Midwest, South, East, West. And that's how. And then each one of those, they'll be seeded number one to number 16. And that was the second time that you had a number one.
Okay.
Fall to a 16. The first time ever happened back in 2016, and you had Virginia, number one, lose to a school from Baltimore, Maryland, who was the number 16 seed.
And are the teams ranked in a certain way, or are they randomly placed in their bracket?
It is based on wins and losses and what have you, and if you won your conference championship, that can be a factor too.
So is the season statistics up going to play?
They do go into play. They totally go into play. They're not just placed randomly. Otherwise, you could possibly have, you know, the best team actually possibly be a number 16 seed. Now, I would hope not, but, I would hope not, but who knows?
Yeah.
So there are things that come into play, just like how, I mean, even at the high school level, they are based on your wins and losses here, and, they're based on your playoff points, and they're based on, who did you beat, did the team you beat, some of the teams you beat have a rather tough schedule, and if so, then good deal, and you got, high amount of playoff points. And we did have a high amount of playoff points this past season. And if you were listening to the episodes back in the fall between late August and early November, I was updating you on Monday and Wednesday nights about the coming football, and Wednesday nights predicting what would happen. Of course, from late August to October, we were also talking about the Dallas Chargers, but then they lost to Midland's final regular season game, ended up finishing the season at what would now be considered undow-like 3-6, which is tied among the worst that Dow had ever finished a regular season. Other than one year, like the first season that they had a football team, where they went 0-1. Yeah, you heard that right, 0-1, where they played one game. So even though they were winless, in a way that kind of doesn't count because they only had one game. Don't you agree that in a way that kind of doesn't count?
Yeah.
Is that because they only went 0-1, that it was like they basically like, new school, they were the new school in town. And then the next year, they played a full season, but they didn't even play Midland.
Right.
And then, believe it or not, they didn't. And then, but then, as to why they didn't right in the first season, I don't know. They were probably still wrong. But then, we'll get going when Vaughn. Oh, somebody's here. I'm gonna assume. I have every reason to believe that it's Vaughn. Assuming it is.
It is.
What?
It is indeed.
Yep. And when we have him come in and sit down here, and then I'm gonna ask him some questions. Wait a minute. Where did my piece of paper go? Sorry about that.
Right there. Just, yep, you got it.
I was just getting myself squared away, like I need to be.
Rivers, why don't you do a quick intro on who you're interviewing?
Hello. So I'm interviewing Vaughn Roten. He is actually Jenny Roten's, formerly Pafford, now Roten's husband. And they've been together for a while. And
he's the Long John to Jenny.
He's the Long Donut. He's the Long John to Donut. To Jenny, as I call Donna. He's the Long John. We like to say he's the Long John. All right, so I'm going to ask you some questions. So for these listeners who don't know, because we have listeners who tune in from other countries and what have you, number one is, what is March Madness? Now, I know what it is, but I'm going to have you explain it for those who don't.
March Madness is the NCAA basketball tournament, which is an invite-only tournament,
right,
and the best teams all show up in it.
Right, and they have the men's, and then they also have the women's teams.
Yep.
And then also for those who don't get invited for whatever reason, they end up in what's called the NIT.
There's the NIT, and there's the, I think it's CBA.
Which is even below that.
Yeah.
Which, okay. Who are you rooting for this year? Now, I know we, for those of us local, we still have Michigan State in there, which it's amazing to me that they're still in there, given how they've done the last few years, not making it to the Sweet 16 at all recently.
We're pulling for Michigan State.
Oh, yes. All right. Do you have a favorite team, like, of any kind, even other than Michigan State? Or it can't be Purdue or Duke. They both lost.
No losers allowed.
Or all time, you know, when you think about the March Madness greats, whatever it be, Duke or Purdue or...
No, there's...
Or maybe...
Michigan
State with Izzo, maybe, because Izzo's awesome.
Well, you gotta love Izzo. But, you know, I'm a Michigan State fan. But that Michigan team, I think it was 8 years ago, when they went on that deep run, and trying to think of what
you... Are you thinking of all the way back in 2013, or are you thinking of 2018?
Yeah,
2013. Yeah, that was really good. That was awesome.
A fun team to watch.
They really were, and I have to agree with you there. And at some point, a few years ago, it was kind of seeming like for a minute, like Michigan was going to become the next state of Kentucky when it came to college basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Because both teams went rather far in. But then, for a minute this year, it was looking like maybe neither one would make the tournament possibly.
It was looking a little scary.
It was looking like, for a minute there, it was like, what's happening here in the state of Michigan? It was looking like, what's going on?
Did you see who won the college hockey tournament, the Big Ten tournament?
Oh, I didn't.
Michigan.
Oh, yes.
They beat Minnesota.
Yay! Number four, is there a team that has surprised you by their status so far?
Oh, I didn't think Michigan State would still be there.
So they're probably one of the big ones to this point.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, also, you know, you had both a 16 seed beat a 1 seed. You had Purdue lose to a 16. And, by the way, not only that, you also had a 2 seed lose to a 15 seed. Specifically two seed Arizona falling to 15 seed Princeton.
And I'm trying to see here.
You did? Because both of those happened this year, this past weekend.
You know, I didn't expect Arkansas to beat Kansas either.
Yep, both. So that means two number one seeds are down. We're down to two. I'm glad to see that both of them are Southern one seeds, believe it or not. I really am. So if you look, I'm surprised at how many Southern teams are still in it.
There are quite a few.
Because back in the day, for a long time, it had seemed like the Big East and what have you were basically throwing the SEC off the map. I remember hearing that talk in like 2009. Where now the SEC and other Southern conferences are back on.
They're making a pretty strong comeback.
Yeah, they are, because historically Tennessee would do good, but they wouldn't go super, super far. But they were known for, like, making it very often. That's why they were considered, like, a team of stature. Okay, number five. What advice would you give the last place team if you could give advice? Like, meaning one of these... like that 16th seed who totally got beat by the overall number one seed, like in Alabama or whatever. You know, what would you give to one of those 16 seeds?
Ignore the rankings. Just go and play your game.
I agree. That's what they have to do. That's the only way that these 16 seeds can beat ones. Otherwise, they'll lose to ones every single time.
If you go in thinking about how good they are, then they're going to play better than your team will play worse than what you should.
And then there'd be no reason to ever watch a one seed play a 16 seed again, because then they'd lose like 160 to the one seed. And that's basically somewhat close to what it could possibly be. And then which game are you most looking forward to in the next couple of days?
I'm excited to see the the Michigan State game, but I think the Xavier-Texas game is going to be a real good one.
Xavier-Texas, you got a Xavier out of Cincinnati versus Texas, which it's good to see, of course. You know, you got it's good to see Texas in there, as they're historically have been a powerhouse at football, and it's always great when you have Texas in the house. It really is, and because they're big on athleticism down there. Part of why I love the state of Texas to begin with, honestly. Why it's one of my favorites. Now, I got a couple more here. Is repping your team something you take real seriously? Now, I know it's not the end of the team, end of the world if your team loses, but at the same time, like, do you really enjoy repping for your team for March Madness, or for you, is it just more of a football and hockey thing?
No, I like repping it for March Madness. Well, I have a Michigan State basketball jersey in my closet.
Oh, good.
Have you ever painted your face for a game?
Yeah, have you painted your face
for
a game? Now what? No,
right,
I have my
every opportunity from here forward.
I've had my face painted by, like, Midland High cheerleaders before at Midland High game back when I was a student at Midland.
Awesome.
Did you ever do that back when you were at MHS? Was your face ever painted by the cheerleaders?
No.
What? You kept them away?
I kept them away. I was mostly playing in them, though.
Because you were playing. That's why you didn't bother having them painted?
Yeah.
So your face was never painted for any game?
No game.
Not for any game at any level for any reason. It was just something never did. Mine might have worn off because I had it done like in the morning, Friday morning.
Okay.
So maybe it didn't last. All right. What is your most favorite March Madness game of all time? One of them for me would have been watching Michigan State win a big game in 2009 and end up having that opportunity to play at Ford Field. That was huge for me to get to see.
That was a good one.
And then in 2010, you had a couple of big near buzzer beaters in 2010 that could have knocked Michigan State right out, one against Tennessee and one against Maryland, both.
You remember, this was probably 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when Florida Gulf Coast was in the tournament?
Remember Florida Gulf Coast, and they were making a good run.
They were a nobody school, and all of a sudden, everyone loved them. Watching them play that first game of the tournament was probably the most fun I've had.
Oh, that's great. And even Mike and Mike were making jokes about the different commercials and replacing the company names with Florida Gulf Coast.
Yep.
And they were like, such and such, who do you call for a crowd insurance? Florida Gulf Coast. Who do you call for this? Florida Gulf Coast. Florida Gulf Coast. Because before that, no one even knew who they were.
Did you see that Florida Atlantic? They're still in it. But their director of athletics is a student. He's a junior at the school right now.
That is wild to have an AD who is actually a student.
It's on the job training, isn't it?
A student AD.
Yeah, it's on the job training.
But generally, if you're going to be an AD at a school, you're supposed to be like an adult, like ahead of the coaches even. So he's the one making the athletic decisions for that school, and he's a junior?
I'm working on finding what it is, what his official name is. It's director of something that had to do with athletics. But
I was going to say, I hope he's not making all the athletic decisions for the school.
But everyone was like, wait, what do you mean that he's a junior at the school? He's in a position he shouldn't be.
It's atypical for a junior. How about that?
It's atypical.
Maybe things are changing in the college athletics world.
And maybe it's maybe he's just super smart and has the mind to do that. And maybe
yeah.
But if that was any, if that was at like Brooklyn High, and there was a student trying, I'd be like, really? Because you know that student could make some, do some things and mess it up.
Oh yeah.
And then wish they didn't do that. That's why I would have been so glad that I was never handed the keys to the athletic director. Because I would have been like, just let Mr. Albright do it. Who's still in there now, but you know, I mean, just let Mr. Albright do it. At Michigan State, just let that guy do it. All right. And it was super good having you, because I got some other stuff that I always do on my show that I want to get to. And it was so great to have you tonight here with us. And go State.
Go State. It's always
go
fun.
State, go. It's always fun. I want to thank you, Vaughn, for tuning in.
Long
John Vaughn. Long John Vaughn. Because we figured, you know, if someone can be donut, someone else has to be Long John.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, especially with the height difference. Like, it makes too good.
And of course, being the regular donut, the Long Johns are usually a little bit bigger than the regular donuts. Like at least, what I like to say, plus 10, meaning 10% bigger. Generally, at least a plus 10, sometimes a plus 20 even, or so. Sometimes it can be even a plus 20. Like that Long John, that was like a plus 25 compared to the non-Long Johns.
Yeah.
Plus 25. Yeah, so that's...
Yeah, they're about 25% bigger.
Yeah, yep, in other words, as I call it, plus 25. And
yeah.
Then minus means it's that much smaller. But of course, if something's, you know, 25% bigger, of course, that's keeping in mind that double isn't exactly 100%. You know, so that's kind of where we come up with that. So, but anyhow, it was good having you guys. Thank you, Jenny, for letting him come over and do this and not holding him captive.
And for this take that, you know, I don't think Rivers could get this good of an interview on March Madness from most of the team here.
Yeah.
No, for sure.
Only Vaughn.
The only March Madness I know about is when people put the groceries away wrong. So.
What? After when they realized that their kids are going to be on spring break for a week and a half, and they just went to the store and got the stuff.
Yeah. Not buy enough pizza rolls for the spring break, that's for sure.
And you're going to need to go buy some more with me tomorrow.
Yep.
And I'll have to be with you when you get them, just to make sure that you got.
Okay. Make sure.
Because that way they're spring, they're, that way they have, you know, for their
pizza rolls.
Spring break.
Yes.
Actually, I like spring break. I don't know why I said spring break like that. I just think it just sounds funny when, you know, because some people, some parents can just be like, oh, brother, when do they go back to school? But it's funny. But, you know, honestly, listeners, that was cool. There's a couple other things. The other thing I do actually want to mention to you is about the PayPal. You can go online to PayPal to sow a seed into the Miracle Man program. And when you get on there, you can type in Rivers Shukla, which is my name. Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. Last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. And you'll type it in on a search bar. Also, there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. I want to make sure you know about that. There's a space in between them. Also, the first R in Rivers and then the S in Shukla, both of those are capitalized. So I want to make sure that you make note of that. Kindly make note of that, please, if you kindly would. And also when you sow your seed and I get notification that you've sown a seed, I pray over that seed because I want you to get blessed. And so I always pray that, as you sow your seed, when I get notification, I pray over that seed and I pray over you. And that's just the way I do it. So that's how I know about it. All right. And so I'm going to want to... the verse I want to sow into your life tonight is Luke 6:30. No, not that one. Therefore, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. It's according to his riches and glory. I come back to that one a lot lately because, you know, we have different economic things going on here in the United States where I live. And so sometimes I like to just come back to that. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. It's not based on economic indicators. It's not based on inflation, deflation, stagflation, whatever you want to call it, inflation. It's not based on that. It's his riches and glory, not all these other natural economic indicators that they will use. Amen. Because, you know, we're the children of God. Amen. And so now I'm going to sing a couple of songs and still get into the work report. And yes, I will predict what I think will happen. A couple selected March Madness games and what I expect will happen for a couple games. All right. Where's my phone?
It should be right on your lap.
I don't see it.
Okay.
I have resolved to wait upon you, Lord. My rock is you, shield and reward. I wait upon you, Lord. As surely as the sun will rise, you'll come to us, certain as the dawn appears. You come, let your glory fall as you respond to us. Spirit rain, flood into our thirsty hearts again. We are not shaken, we are not moved. We wait upon you, Lord. The mighty deliverer of triumph and truth, we wait upon you, Lord. As surely as the sun will rise, you'll come to us, certain as your word endures. You come, let your glory fall as you respond to us. Spirit rain, flood into our thirsty hearts again. You come, chains be broken, lives be healed, eyes be open, Christ is revealed. Chains be broken. Lives be healed, eyes be open, Christ is revealed. You come, let your glory fall as you respond to us. Spirit, rain, flood into our thirsty hearts again. You come, you come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for all these listeners that have tuned in tonight to learn about you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that these listeners tonight will have ears to hear and minds ready to understand and focus on this for this short time we have left to study your word. I know, Jesus, it'll be short, but it'll be good. I know what the ears of these listeners to hear and to pay attention and to focus on you. And I thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you that you use me to deliver the word. Thank you, Jesus, that you're meeting the needs of all, every listener that has tuned in to this broadcast. You know what they have need of, individually. Even when I don't know, you do know. And I thank you, Jesus, for that. I make my confession over this program tonight. Thank you, Jesus, that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, increases in listenership come into this program. Most importantly of all, though, Lord, I thank you for the huge amounts of souls coming in to your kingdom. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen. Go with me, if you would, please, to the book of Philippians 2. Amen. Philippians 2. And I'm going to begin with verse 1. And when you find it, go ahead and catch up. Just checking the time. Okay. Just checked in. We're still doing all right. I've locked it so that way it won't be talking to me every single minute. So we're in Philippians 2. I'm going to begin with verse 1. Discussing that. So if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, by the way, if any comfort from his love, I pray you've had more than just a little bit. I hope it's been a lot. For me, it's been a lot. If any fellowship of the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and pursuit, and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. In a minute, in a few minutes of wrote on reading, I'm going to come back to this. Verse 6. Who being in very nature God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. We'll be talking about this over the next couple weeks as resurrection time comes. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, not just some name. The name of Jesus is above every name. That is the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow in heaven and on the earth and under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling? I'm supposed to work out my salvation with fear and trembling? Yes. But not the kind of working out like where you go to the gym. And no. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering and the sacrifice and service being from your faith, I am glad and I rejoice with all of you so that you too should be glad and rejoice with me. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare, for everyone looks out for his own interests of those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son of his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphras, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. Okay, I'm going to cut off there. So, when I look at verse 5, I see there where it says your attitude should be like that of Christ. Your attitude should be like that of Christ. When we talk about examining ourselves, that means you should look at yourself and go, how is my tune? How's my attitude? Do I have an attitude? What is it that really bugs me? Why does it bug me? Am I a patient person? Or am I impatient just because someone cut me off on the freeway on the way back home from work? So you have to look at yourself in that area and go, how am I doing? And part of that can be, you know, why sometimes some even Christians, even though they shouldn't, might use the sign of international sign of disapproval, as I hear it called. And so don't be doing that. But, you know, if you're going to be a Christian, you should have a better attitude than that. And he said your attitude should be that like that of Christ. What does that mean? Christ-like. If you claim to be a Christian, that means you should be Christ-like. That doesn't mean, you know, that you will die on the earth and 3 days later be rose again, because Jesus already did that. Jesus already did that. And we'll be getting into that in the next couple weeks. And then he said, some verses later, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean you're afraid, and that doesn't mean you're always trembling like this. That's not the kind of fear and trembling he means. He means doing the best that you can. Following Jesus the best you know how to do. Living according to how he called you to live. Working out your own salvation. You know, and just keep on doing what you know to do and standing firm, standing on his promises, standing on the word of God, living by faith, attending church, praying, reading your Bible, having that relationship with Jesus. Walking in humility instead of walking in pride. Because he said, follow Christ's humility as an example. Because Jesus had become a man. He was a man, born onto this earth. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. His only son. He used Mary to be the woman who would give birth. Then Jesus grew up in man's likeness. Lived on earth for 33 years. Had his ministry for 3 years, age 30 to age 33. Then he died by being nailed to a cross. Think about this. He was nailed to a cross for us. For no other reason. I can't think of any other reasons that he was nailed to the cross other than for us. It was even prophesied in Isaiah and other places that that's what was going to happen. It was prophesied that's what was going to happen, that he was going to be nailed to the cross for us, because he loved us. He didn't die so that we could be free to sin. He died so that we could be free from sin. Jesus died so you could live. Jesus died on the cross so you could stand wherever you are today, sit wherever you are today, without pain, without shame. What do you do for him? What do you do for him? So, another question. Is your name in the book? Is your name in the book? Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Or would you possibly hear, it's not here? I don't know about you, but I don't plan on hearing Jesus say, I never knew you. I never knew you. I don't plan on hearing him say that. I plan on hearing him say to me, the miracle man, Rivers Shukla, Rivers Joel Shukla. I plan on hearing him say, Rivers Joel Shukla, you faithful servant. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That is what I plan to hear him say to me when I think about my life to this point. I plan to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. When that day of judgment comes, that's what I plan to hear him say. You say, miracle man, why is it that every so often you talk about when the day about the day of judgment coming? Well, we're in the last of the last days. And, you know, that means at some point, you know, probably the trumpet's going to blow. Then, later on, you know, and then what's going to happen in all of that is the courtroom will be set up and God, the judge, will be the judge.
Yes.
You'll be called to give an account on your life. You'll have to give an account for everything you did in your life, the good and the bad, even the idle words. Your money, what did you do with it? You know, what did you do for my kingdom? What about all this stuff? You know, what about all these works? What do you do there? What about this and that? And if you were a parent, you know, what about your children? And you'll be asked to give an account before God. And your works will be tried. And he'll know whether you told the truth or not. I plan to be very honest before God and tell him the truth about me. So the question would be, do you know tonight? Do you know if the trumpet were to blow tonight? Do you know whether or not you would go to heaven? Or are you not sure? If you're unsure, or you know that you would not make heaven, now is the time to get it right before God. And for some of you young people who might be thinking, oh, I got 50 years to get right with God. Really? you could die tonight and not make heaven. So now's the time to get right with God. Wherever you are. And Jesus loves you. He loves us all. And I want you to be in heaven with my Jesus. I do. For those of you who don't know my Jesus, you can get to meet him. It's free. It only takes a few seconds. And guess what else? It's painless. Less painless than any doctor's appointment you've ever had, I can guarantee it. Oh, by the way, in fact, it takes pain away. Isn't that great to know? It actually takes pain away. It actually takes pain away. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Pray this with me. Your listeners, Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to make me new tonight. Lord, I confess you as my Lord and Savior tonight. Make me new. Make me like you. Fix me. Change me. Show me your way, Jesus, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I commit to follow you all the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
And you know, listeners, whether you prayed that prayer for the first time or you prayed that prayer to just rededicate your life, maybe you've ran away from God, or maybe you've not ran away, but you just haven't been living like you should be, and you rededicated. If you've given your life to Jesus or rededicated your life, oh man, the angels in heaven, they're having a party, because they know that people have given their lives and rededicated their lives back to Jesus. And that's a great thing to know. And for those of you who just pray the prayer because I said pray it, then great. Because in that case, you're just proving that you're worth, that you love him. And you're proving it by confessing him as your Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your word tonight. Thank you that, you know, we would do your word tonight. Thank you that for these people who have chosen to give their lives to you tonight and rededicate their lives to you. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you for what you're doing in each and every one of these listeners. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen. Now, in college basketball, Michigan has a big game against a two seed, I believe. And my prediction is that Michigan State will win. They will make it to the Elite Eight, but I don't think they'll make it past the Elite Eight. But they will win tomorrow. Third seed Xavier, two seed Texas. Xavier, Texas, going at it in Kansas. My prediction, Xavier, seven, no, my prediction. Big Tex, 74, Xavier, 67. All right, folks. I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no evil shall befall us, no plague shall come nigh our dwelling. We have given you angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. I say that no drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no murderer, no suicide, no fire, flood, or crash, no evil shall befall us, our immediate loved ones. We're going to live in great peace and great joy and prosperity and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. I sure love you. And until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will talk to you all on Monday. So long, everybody. Yeah.